You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Colored People. What does the word colored even mean, other than the offensive belonging wholly or in part to any group of non-white people, especially to black people, pertaining to black people? Listen to what else it can mean. Influenced or biased. We are all colored people. We are all influenced and biased by something. There's a scene in the movie about Jackie Robinson playing baseball, is this correct? His dad's in the stands. His dad starts chanting some racial thing, and the little boy, his little boy is seated next to him, looking at the baseball player, just a man, looks up at his dad and realizes, uh-oh, I'm supposed to hate this guy, and jumps in, just a kid. And you say, well, everybody's born with a sin nature. I don't believe we're born racist. I think we're teaching somebody that. Now, see, these are where the thing swings. You say, that's right, those white people teaching racism. Black people do it too. Hispanic people do it too. Everybody does it. You say, no, that's all gone away. The reason I'm even bringing this up again today is this is not all gone away. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's read some scripture. Now, these are very simple things that if you don't complicate the simple things, it all fits together. But the second you start complicating or twisting it a little bit or saying, yeah, but it says that, but it means this. Look at the very beginning, chapter 1, Genesis, verse 26. Then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's an us there, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created what? Man. In his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. That's the only distinction we got. You say, yeah, but there's all these different flavors, all these different colors, all these, I understand all that. That's part of his plan. People say, oh, God's colorblind. That's not true. He loves color. It wouldn't have ended up this way. But we use color to make distinction, not just see it as color. So he made man. So if you're a man, you're made in the image of God. If you're a woman, you're made in the image of God. That's it. You say, yeah, but some people are better than other people. Where did you get that? Now, see, you say, well, but I met a guy and he thinks he's better than me. Where'd you get that? And even if he did think that or she did think that, why do you feel that's even an issue? No one, you cannot be really offended by someone thinking they're better than you unless you think you're worse than them. So their problem might or might not be arrogance. We don't know their heart. Your issue is insecurity. You don't know who you are. You don't know whose image you were made in. You don't know that you have value because he says you have value, not because some person of a different race or ethnicity or color accepts you or rejects you. Proverbs 16:18. Now listen to this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't care what color you are. So if you are proud and you think and haughty, arrogant, whatever words you want to use, and you're better than somebody, or because you have something, or you live somewhere, you drive something, you have opportunity, you're more educated, the second you go there, you got words following you like destruction and a fall. And the scripture is replete with references to God and how he favors the humble. So check your heart. Ask God to check your heart. Is there a haughty spirit in me? Am I filled with pride because of my own insecurity? Do I think that I am better than people? Because I have to put someone else down to make me feel better. Because if we're all level, I don't like the feeling of that because I need to feel better. Why do we need to feel better? Feeling good's not bad, but feeling better than someone else is not the goal. Go to Matthew 21. And there's a ton of things I could read out of scripture that go with this, but let me just highlight this. Matthew 21, go down to verse 6. It's the week before Jesus is going to die. Verse 6, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Like worshipers, lying in the streets, their clothes, branches, they're on it. Hosanna. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Some people weren't involved in this worship, this acknowledging of him. They said, Well, who is this guy? They said, Oh, it's Jesus. So they know who he is, Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So the multitude said, This is Jesus. They get who he is. Go to Matthew 27. Same town, a few days later, and look what happens here. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They said to him, Let him be crucified. Then the governor said, Why, what evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. So you've got a crowd here now. Keep reading. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent. So it's a multitude. He's washing his hands of it. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. All the people answered him and said, His blood be on us and on our children. So one day he's Hosanna in the highest. A few days later, crucify him. How easily influenced or biased can you be? Are you situational in your convictions? If you're with this group of people, you tend to throw in and say whatever they're saying. But if you get over here with another group, you'll act like you would defend the people you spoke against over here. It's complete hypocrisy. You say, but you don't understand how scary it is out here. At some point, you've got to consider how scary it might be to stand before the God who created you and who saved you and give an account for these things. And what was so hard about that situation or this situation? Or it's not like I didn't prompt you. People say to me, well, I don't hear God. And I keep saying this, I know repeatedly. I don't think if you're a Christian, it's not that you don't hear God. You don't like what you hear. I didn't love, colored people. Not my favorite thing to talk about. Couldn't get away from it. So here we are. So the Holy Spirit says, look, at some point you're going to get this too. He's going to say, I'm not really asking. I'm telling. I'm trying to do it gently and politely, but I'm not asking you what you think. I'm telling you what to say and do. That's obedience. And so you do that. So you're going to have to take some deep Holy Spirit breaths and get in some situations and win humor, racial, whatever things. And see, it might be black folk telling white jokes about white people with black folk. Cracker this, whatever you want to. I got a saltine cracker sermon coming, so don't hold your breath. Oh, that's a funny joke. A lot of things are funny that you shouldn't laugh at. You say, but if I jump in with my people, well, when did they become your people? If you're a Christian, you got a new group of people. So you go, well, wow, if I said that, I'd be ridiculed. I'd be a bunch of stuff. Or you're with a bunch of white buddies and somebody makes a comment about a, whatever. We're silent. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is silent when we are necessarily. I think there are a lot of times he's saying, speak, and we say, no, sir, not willing to go there, not willing to pay that price. Now, I'll tell you a good place to start on this. Don't start with all, GD this and F and that and Jesus Christ, all the cussing. You say, oh, I'm going to get in there and tell them how that's very offensive. When you are willing to speak the name of Jesus when you're supposed to, all that other stuff will come very easily. When you have boldness to share Christ, you will have boldness to do the rest. If you're not willing to be bold in his name, you will not be bold in these other situations. If it is, it's probably reactionary too many times and just you're angry and stirred up and you can't say that. You start sharing the gospel when he prompts you to, you'd be amazed what else comes out boldly and gently sometimes. It can be bold and gentle at the same time. And people see that in your eyes and in the tone of your voice. They know something's different. Go to John chapter 13. Now, if you went back and just however many hundreds and hundreds of sermons you've had to sit through if you've lasted that long, this verse is going to get read a lot. You'd say, ooh, what are the recurring verses? This is a big one. The 11th commandment. Okay? John 13:34. When Jesus says something like, a new commandment I give to you, that's a big deal. That you love one another as I have loved you. Now, don't leave that phrase out. He didn't just say love one another. He said the commandment is love one another. How? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Already spoke today in the service with an African-American gentleman, and one of the comments he made was, I love the diversity. That's not enough for me. Diversity is not enough. When the diversity is defined by love, now we're getting somewhere. Where you're not just sitting next to someone of a different ethnicity or color, you actually know those people and love them like brothers and sisters. Now the world walks in and sees that and says they have to be his disciples. They have to be his followers. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people in the world not looking for a reason to be separated anymore. They want to be with a God who brings people together, not drives them apart. They're tired of that. Keep reading Acts 10, lest you think this stuff is not in the Bible. If you go read this story about Peter, and if you look at the story of Peter, I mean, he's a piece of work. Deny, you know, you think peer pressure, influence, bias is not an issue. Peter, the guy Jesus gives the keys to the whole kingdom to, by a campfire, in one passage where he can see Jesus, and they say, hey, you're that guy. No, I'm not. You're the guy. Cussing. Cursing, saying, no, I am not. Three times the rooster crows. He's the guy. Jesus dies on the cross, buried. Peter doesn't even believe he's going to be raised from the dead. So if you think, oh, I'm in bad, you know, I'm a terrible person, there's nothing but terrible people. But Peter comes back around. But even Peter kind of felt that distinction. Jews, Gentiles, not supposed to go certain places. So God understands this, and God will ease you sometimes into an uncomfortable situation. Peter gets slammed. Look at what he says. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Well, duh, but now he finally gets it. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So what should that tell you? If they're accepted by God, why are they not accepted by us? You say, well, I still got issues with it. I think I still have issues with it too. But you know what? He's still moving me. And I understand that when a white guy gets up and talks about these issues, you say, that shouldn't be. I'm actually one of the best people to get up and talk about it because I'm trying. And I'm not a black person telling a bunch of black people how the world should be or a black person telling a bunch of white people how the world should be. I'm a white person saying, this ain't right. Something is not right in our culture still. Because Jesus, of all people, should be able to draw us together regardless. And we are demonstrating still in this nation that he can't. Because we still huddle up with these unspoken signs, and we seem to be okay with that. Acts 17. Yeah, go read the story of Peter with Cornelius and the food and Gentile and Jew and... Go read stories about Samaritans and Jews. You think there's racial tension here. These people hated each other. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, listen to what he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, to cover all the gods, one to the unknown. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all, breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. One blood. I mean, any doctor will tell you this. There's not, well, you know, black folk have different kind of blood. Hispanic people have different kind of blood. It's just blood, one blood. Keep reading. So that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Surely these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. So he preaches the gospel to him and tells him it's not about these idols. We are the offspring of God. Now, you will hear this phrase, we're all God's children. I hear what people mean by that, but don't think just because you are made in the image of God, you'll end up in heaven. If you truly want to get into his family, you either have to get adopted or born into it. So that's why the scripture says you've got to be born again. Being born the first time gets you on the planet, the second time gets you into heaven. Or it describes us as being adopted, especially Gentiles. We're not of his chosen people, but now all of a sudden we are. So you think, well, I'm a child of God because I was born. No, you're a child of God when you get born again. Okay? So please, these are not just technicalities. It's life or death. Romans chapter 10, a few pages to the right. There you go. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, look at the context, all this together, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when I'm sitting with somebody and they become a Christian, I say, if it's a guy, for instance, if I said, if you and I had the same dad, what would that make us? Brothers. If it's a woman, what would that make us? Brother and sister. That's where you start. You don't start with differences. You start with what you have in common. And see, by the time we get to a person that they are a believer, we've shut them down so many ways, we can't get to them anymore. Oh, you're black, you're poor, you're rich, you're Hispanic. You know, we got all these boundaries why we can't interact. Oh, you think you're better than me, or you live over there, or you drive that. We size people up. They don't have a chance before we even get to know them. We've thrown them away. Do you know how much fun this can be if we figure this out and get it right? And it's really, you say, oh, but I'm trying. There's no trying to this. Just get out of the way and say, Lord, I got issues. You know, if you hate white people, then just say that. Lord, you know, I hate white people. I got that in my heart. I got issues. Maybe talk to somebody that's lighter or something. I'm not saying high yellow. I'm saying go a little lighter than that even. The world ought to walk into a gathering of believers and go, what the heck is going on? What is that? And not just take a snapshot, but walk amongst us and go like, so y'all know each other, yeah. Y'all love each other, yeah. And we're the people that don't kind of stand out. Like, ooh, that person doesn't seem to be all in on all this. Yeah, they just got here. Take a little time, but we get patient with those people too. Because even Christians don't believe that what Jesus says is really possible a lot of times. Back to Peter. Over and over, go read before Jesus died. I will be crucified, buried, raised the third day. He even tells them what day. Crucified, buried, on the third day, the Son of Man will be raised. Give them the math. So what would you do if you're listening? You go, okay, he died today. I'm going to go up there Sunday. I bet he's going to be gone or be on the way out. I'll get there early, catch him leaving. Not a single person went looking for an empty tomb. They did not believe it. So he gets that we don't believe everything he says, but he is patient and says, but they can, they might, they will. I'm just saying, let's don't wait till we get to heaven to believe all this stuff and do it. Because there's a lost world that needs to see that we are keeping that 11th commandment. We love one another. And they say, if God can do that with them, then maybe he can do something with me. Romans 12:3, a few pages to the right. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So I love this because it says a few things. One is, it does not say don't think highly of yourself. You should think highly of yourself. I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. You say, well, you sound a little cocky or proud. I'm proud to be God's child. I got picked. I'm his child. It's humbling, but I think highly of myself because God thinks highly of me in a humble kind of way. You should be confident in your relationship with him. But it says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. What that says is, don't be thinking you're better than someone else. One of the coolest things about being a kid is they just don't know any difference yet. They can be mean to each other, but they're not mean because somebody's black or Hispanic or white. They're just mean because they're mean. They get taught to be mean to specific colors by their parents or crazy people around them that don't know any better. Okay, so briefly, let me go somewhere else. You say, but you don't know what happened to me, my parents, my grandparents, my whatever. Okay, I'll yield on all that. I don't know. But you know what? You're going to have to forgive somebody or you will never get on with your life. You say, well, people don't know that I have issues. It's usually all over us, especially the people. So here's the last thing you want to say if you're trying to hide. Oh, I'm not racist. Oh, there we go. You might as well get you a t-shirt that says, I'm not racist, and slash through the knot. Because if you're not, you just aren't. Maybe a couple more. 1 John chapter 2. I've got more. I just don't have more time. And this is put this way in a few other places, but I'm just going to read you 1 John chapter 2. Be careful what you claim, what you voice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. He who says he is in the light, so you say, I'm in the light, and hates his brother is in darkness until now. It's not possible. You cannot claim to be in the light and then hate your brother. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So then hatred manifests itself that you stumble around the rest of your life. You don't know where you're going because you have been blinded because you don't see what's right in front of you, how you treat people, that you might actually hate a brother. This isn't talking about non-believers. This is inside the church. And then the last one is Revelation chapter 7, and this is very cool to me. And it's in a few other places as well, but we'll just read this one. Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of what? All nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So this is for us, and we're trying as a church, and for maybe people beyond here who think maybe we should make a run at it. You're going to end up with everybody in the family at the throne. Why not practice a little bit before you get there? And say to the world that a little piece of heaven is possible here and now. And that this is a God that brings people together and overcomes all type of issues that we have, biases, influences, things that keep us from each other. We're all colored people, but we don't have to die that way. And we certainly don't have to live that way. So here's my simple encouragement to you, something to climb in the closet and pray. Lord, where am I in the process? And listen and say, Lord, show me where this shows up, how I treat people, how I interact, even at church. Is there tension? Is there love? Is there a connect? Are we family? And if you're good here, then say, okay, how does it go beyond here? And just ask him to show you what's up with you. And if you still got issues, say, Lord, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to die this way. Move me in your direction. and you'd be amazed how he can change your heart, and you end up with friends you thought you'd never have, going places you thought you'd never go, with people you thought you'd never go with, and one of the best of those places is heaven.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.